By the time he did his TV show, he was such a figure of stability, says Christofferson. It was like he was the father of our country. He was Billy Graham's friend. Presidents had respect for him. It was wonderful to see my mother change. I got an honorary doctorate from Pomona College, where I had gone to school, and John and June attended the ceremony. John had written her a letter, and she came up to him and gave him a big hug. She was quite proud. Though patriotic and religious, Cash was hardly a conventional conservative. He opposed American involvement in Vietnam, for example, but at the same time he supported the troops by playing concerts in Saigon in January 1969. Visiting wounded soldiers in the hospital and ducking incoming mortar fire only served to increase his desire for peace. His nephew Roy Cash Jr. joined the Navy in 1963 and spent a 30-year career flying fighter planes off aircraft carriers. He remembers that Cash was always more interested in asking him questions about military life than he was in recounting his show business tales. He wasn't particularly for the Vietnam War, and I wasn't either. I just felt that it was my duty to serve my country, and he supported us. He gave me tapes and records to give to the folks in my outfit. He even came and did a free concert at the Naval College up in Newport, Rhode Island. At a time when many of his generation were dismissive of the spiritual quests and political protests of the campus rebels, Cash, perhaps mindful of his own excesses and stumbling pilgrimage, liked to listen and understand. He shared many of their concerns for peace, freedom, equality, and human dignity. In a song premiered on the March 18, 1970 show, he took the question asked by Pontius Pilate, "What is truth?" and made it the hook of a song that looked at the failure of his generation to understand the young. The old man turns off the radio, says, "Where did all the old songs go? Kids sure play funny music these days, and they sure do play it in the strangest ways. It seems like the whole darn world's gone wild. It was peaceful back when I was a child. Well, man, could it be that the girls and boys are trying to be heard above your noise?" And the lonely voice of youth cries, "What is truth?" Another song specifically written for one of the shows was Man in Black. For years, he'd been asked why he dressed predominantly in black jackets and trousers, although he actually frequently wore white jackets in the 1950s. He usually gave one of three answers. A, black stayed the cleanest for the longest time. B, black was good for wearing in church, and his first concert had been in a church. And C, black was easier to color coordinate. The new song offered the explanation that he wore black in remembrance of all the sadness and injustice in the world. "Are you becoming a political radical?" Cash was asked. "No, I sure don't," said Cash. "I look at it the other way. I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back. Till things are brighter, I'm the man in black." A third television series was commissioned starting in September, this time lasting for 26 shows. While taping, Cash always maintained his boundaries. He wasn't concerned about pleasing a particular constituency, liberal or conservative, but wanted to stay true to himself. When he performed Kris Kristofferson's Sunday Morning Coming Down, the network wanted him to leave out the reference to being stoned. Someone suggested that instead of singing the line, "Wishing, Lord, that I was stoned," he could sing, "Wishing, Lord, that I was home." "John didn't let me know what he was going to do with it," says Christofferson. "When he sang it that night, he looked right up at me in the balcony and sang, 'Wishing, Lord, that I was stoned,' and to me that saved the song. I don't think it ever would have been that big if it had not had that word in it. He fought to preserve the integrity of the song, and he won." On another occasion, Cash dared to offend the liberals by making an explicit declaration of his Christian faith. He had always included gospel songs on his shows, but had not yet revealed the precise details of his religious commitment. The fact that he loved gospel made him little different than Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, or Elvis, performers from the South who grew up loving gospel songs and hymns. He knew from the fan mail that came into the show that a lot of people wanted to know whether the gospel songs had a deeper meaning for him. Cash prepared a statement that he wanted to include in the show that aired on November 18, 1970, but Jacobson warned him against using it on the grounds that it would alienate a section of the public who didn't share his views. It wasn't a simple statement of his faith, something that would fit comfortably into the show business format, but a short polemic that seemed out of character with the easygoing mood they had established over the past 18 months. He said, "All my life I have believed that there are two powerful forces, the force of good and the force of evil, the force of right and the force of wrong, or, if you will, the force of God and the force of the devil. Well, now, the force of God is naturally the number one most powerful force, although the number two most powerful force, the devil, takes over every once in a while, and he can make it pretty rough on you when he tries to take over. I know. In my time, I fought him. I fought back. I clawed. I kicked him. When I didn't have the strength to kick him, I gnawed him. Well, here lately, I think we've made the devil pretty mad because on our show, we've been mentioning God's name. We've been talking about Jesus, Moses, Elijah, the prophet, even Paul and Silas and John the Baptist. Well, this probably made the devil pretty mad, all right, and he may be coming after me again, but I'll be ready for him. In the meantime, while he's coming, I'd like to get in one more lick for number one." He then sang, "I Saw a Man" by Arthur Smith. Jacobson approached him afterward and suggested cutting it, but Johnny told him, "If you cut that out, I'll never talk to you again. That's how I feel." It aired, but Jacobson believes that it had a catastrophic effect on the third season. "It was a seminal moment," he says. "John said something that he shouldn't have said. I left it in and our ratings began to dip. When the ratings started to dip, the powers that be in L.A. began to panic. They were saying, 'We got to do something.' They started putting the pressure on me and on John. I tried to deflect it as best I could, but I think by then he had had enough." The program was now running out of steam. The "Ride This Train" sections merely reworked past ideas. Studio executives determined the guest, and old staples like "Big River," "I Walk the Line," and "Folsom Prison Blues" took up more of the playlist. Then, in a last-ditch effort to spice up the format, they introduced theme programs: comedy, youth, the Wild West, country music, circuses. A gospel-themed show even featured Billy Graham in a duet with Cash in the specially written song, "The Preacher Said," in which the evangelist recited passages of Scripture. Though the Johnny Cash Show rated 17 in the 1969-70 Nielsen ratings, it didn't break the top 20 for the 1970-71 season. In May 1971, while the third season still aired in the States, Cash flew to Australia for a tour. On arrival, he was greeted by reporters asking him why the Johnny Cash Show had been canceled. Apparently, in his absence, a decision had been reached in L.A. to pull the plug after 58 shows spread over almost 2 years. Although totally shocked because he had agreed to film another season, he was nevertheless relieved that the decision to quit had been made for him. Cash had felt increasingly restless and was eager to embark on projects that had more meaning for him. "It was all right for the first year," he said, "but I soon came to realize that to the networks I was just another piece of merchandise, a cog in the wheel, and when the wheel starts squeaking and wobbling, they'd replace me with another cog." He told Robert Elstrom that he felt that every part of his personal and family life had been exploited. "Television steals your soul," he said. In December 1969, Billy Graham contacted him, and Cash invited Graham and his wife, Ruth, to Hendersonville for a meal. It was the start of one of the deepest and most valuable relationships of his life. On the surface, they seemed an unlikely couple. Graham, the untainted and conservatively styled evangelist, and Cash, the unpredictable and wild musician. But they shared backgrounds as Southern Baptist farm boys, high-profile lives, and a love of the Bible. Cash admired Graham's resoluteness and quiet confidence in God. Graham had met and advised some of the most powerful people in the world, and yet the most striking thing about him was his humility and his integrity. Graham, in turn, was intrigued by Cash's ability to be candid about his faith and yet find acceptance with sections of society that were traditionally cynical about Christianity. Graham encouraged Cash to write more songs addressing the questions posed by the Woodstock generation. He also invited Cash to make a guest appearance along with the Carter family and the Statler brothers at a youth revival on May 24, 1970 in Knoxville, Tennessee. Posters advertising the event used psychedelic graphics, and Graham preached on what he called the Jesus Revolution. Cash spoke of his drug abuse that in fact had only ended a mere 2 months beforehand when his first son, John Carter Cash, was born. "It ain't worth it," he told the stadium crowd. I'd like the young people to take it from a man who's been there and knows what he's talking about. Later, he referred to the appearance with Billy Graham as the pinnacle of my career.